Is that wonderful? Precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. I don't know about you folks, but it is precious to me. Well, folks, guess what? It's Friday night, and you know my signature opening in these messages all the time. You know, it's Friday night. It's wonderful to be here. As I always say, you could have been elsewhere. You could have been doing your own little thing. But you decided to take some time out of your schedule to come here to hear the message of the word. And I hope this message speaks to your heart, because it speaks to mine whenever I'm prepping these things together, because a lot of times the message does speak to me. You know, and I hope that anyone that's here tonight or anyone that will listen to this online will get something out of this message. I really hope it speaks to their hearts. I really do. But if you notice, you know, it's been quite a while that I've been here on Friday night to present the message to you, because quite frankly, my friends, there's been a lot of things going on. You know, it's been almost a month that I was able to stand here and present a message to you. In the last few weeks prior to that, we had hurricanes out in the Gulf of Mexico. Two of them looked like it was about to hit us or cross over us, and thank you for the prayers. But unfortunately, people still got hit, you know, which I don't wish this on nobody. But, you know, we had so much going on, you know, and poor Lake Charles, they got towed up, you know, and after that, it was like, you know, okay, well, we're going to need some healing and recovering. And guess what? Another storm started coming this way and almost hit them directly again. And with that, other things has been going on personally in my own lives, and I don't know about you, but, you know, it just seemed like it's been one event after another. And this is why, you know, I started on this message, and the message I was supposed to preach to you, basically, it was supposed to be about 4 weeks ago, so I rewrote this message for tonight, you know, in light of all the things that's been going on in my life in the last 4 weeks. And I'm hoping that you can relate to this, because I don't know about you, but has anyone here tonight has experienced a terrible onslaught from the enemy lately? You know, if I had a camera, I would ask, you know, for show of hands, have you experienced a terrible onslaught from the enemy lately? Has it been in the past several days, past weeks, or months, or even years? Has it been ongoing? Many times for me, my friends, it's been very difficult. Sometimes it seems like, and I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes it seems like I'm going backwards and not forwards anymore. That's the truth. A lot of times when, you know, issues and trials and tribulations, and look, you know, I'm not trying to paint a picture, you know, like, oh, poor old Jimbo. You know, look at Jimbo having problems. No, folks, it's just, you know, I've been going through some things, you know, but I can't say I know what it's like for other people. Other people has it far worse than me. You know, we all been going through this. We all been experiencing something, you know, within the past several weeks, past several days, months, or years. But, you know, to me, you know, a lot of times lately, you know, what I've been going through, and I've been, you know, praying with the Lord and seeking His counsel, asking for guidance, and He's showing me some things. But, you know, that's why I said the things I've been going through, it just seems like I'm going backwards and not forwards anymore, like I'm not making no progress. And this is quite alarming at times. It really is. And yet when I'm feeling despair about those situations in those times, the Lord shows me that He is actually working out refinement, pruning, and forming the character of Christ in me. And many times as I think it over, when going through or have gone through this process of those trials and those testings, that the character of Christ is formed within me. Now, I'm sure you can relate to this. If you hadn't thought about it, think about it. You know, whenever you are going through whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever problems that you have, whatever hardships you are facing, folks, look, think about it. What it's doing, it's forming the character of Jesus Christ within you. That's what it is doing. Now, when someone says, or basically when someone is worshiping in the presence of the Lord, yeah, it's easy to say, I come to the cross. But when we truly have to face the cross, part of us doesn't want to go through that long, drawn out process. Sometimes I have to admit, I didn't want to go through it neither. Because I questioned myself, why? How come? What was the reason? You know, I keep saying, oh, yes, I'm going to go across, the cross, the cross. But yet, you know, I think sometimes Lord said, yeah, are you serious about this? Are you sure? Do you really want to come to the cross? Okay, we're going to find out. And sometimes when I see that, you know, I come, I don't know. Well, to me at times, it seems like it's a long, drawn out process. That's what it seems like. But friends, I do know this as much as you should know this. The way of the cross is the only way that every child of God must go. There's no other way around it. You cannot sidestep it. You cannot walk around it. You must go to the cross, and there is no other way. And yes, it is a lonely place at these times, and many of us really would not like to face them. For all of us who does go through this process, let me tell you something right now. It's just a reminder that it comes with a price. It comes with a price. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, Lisa, she's going to post it for you in the room. But if you got your Bibles tonight, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It's going to be posted for you on the screen. Look what it says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never wasted or not in vain in the Lord. My friends, let me give you some good news right now. Your labor for what you do for the Lord is not in vain. It's not. Don't think that. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, we ask of you to check our minds and our hearts. And Father, if there's anything within us that I have not confessed to you before the start of this message, I ask of you, oh Father, please forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Because as we heard the song, precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Sometimes, Father, we don't take that very seriously. Jesus, sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't take it seriously. We don't realize the cost that it cost you. Oh, we read it. We know about it. We know the suffering, the hardships, the pain, and everything that you went through. I can't fathom that. I can't. And I think, you know, we need to step back a little bit in our lives, and we need to examine our hearts, and we need to take a look at ourselves, and we need to be truthful and honest with ourselves and dig deep and ask those hard questions. We need to ask the hard questions, and we need to be serious because, Jesus, you paid the price. It's precious. The price had to be paid, and we need to examine ourselves. Are we willing to pay the price? So, Father, I ask of you to be with us. Put a protective hand around us. Watch over them that's here tonight. Take care of them. Let them know that you love them. And, Father, do what you do best. Show us truth. We seek your truth and want to know the truth. We thank you. We love you. Praise you in everything that we do to the best of our abilities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all know I'm going to grab some water real quick. And many of you that's here tonight, y'all know the title of the message because I put titles to my messages all the time. Those of you who's listening, the title of this message tonight will be, "And Everything Precious Has Its Price." Now make note of this. With every beautiful rose, there are thorns. With every precious gain, there is a sacrifice. Precious things, beautiful things, are always accompanied by many challenges, and there is a price that has to be paid. And when you determine to walk closely with the Lord, you will experience, that's right, friends, Jesus said to us, if you're very familiar with scriptures, Jesus tells us we was going to be hated. We was going to be persecuted. We was not going to be liked. And nowhere would you find many people like to try to paint, oh, you know, when you come to Christ, everything is done, everything's over with, everything's hunky-dory, you're okay, life is going to be easy. Well, if you can find those scriptures, let me know. Jesus never promised that. He never promised everything was going to be okay. He never promised life was going to be easy. Yeah, we was going to have an abundant life. We was going to have a fulfilling life. But he did warn us it's going to come with a cost. And when you determine in your heart to walk closely with the Lord, my friends, let me tell you something right now. You will experience persecution, mistreatment, singling out and unfairness, being misunderstood, face criticism, people will shun you, they will ignore you, fail to acknowledge you, or even worse, give you the cold shoulder. When this happens, my friends, look, keep walking closely with the Lord no matter what. Keep walking closely with the Lord no matter how hard it gets. Keep walking with the Lord no matter how difficult your journey is going to be, because again, it comes with a price. That's how precious what we have. That's how precious Jesus is in our lives. It will come with a price. And look, I'm not trying to downplay this or paint some bad picture for us. No, I'm not trying to do that. But when the Lord releases his awesome power in you to do great works for him, the enemy will assign his demons to follow you around and attempt to hinder you at every turn in your walk. And friends, I know this because every time it seems like I try to step out and move forward to the Lord, something comes at me. It always does. But friends, let me tell you something right now. That dude is nothing more than a fool. And I'm going to get into why he does this to us. Because again, we need to understand where these things come from. And again, you know, whenever you are stepping out for the Lord, be prepared. God is with us. God gives us the strength. God covers us. God watches over us. But at times, God will test us to see if we are true to him. If not, we're just playing some kind of game. He's going to test you. Mark my word, it's going to happen. And the main reason I said that every time that you step around or step up for the Lord to do things for him, the enemy is going to try to hinder you at every which way he can. And the reason for this is, you ready for this? The reason the enemy comes after you when you step out for the Lord is because the enemy cannot stand to see you happy in the Lord. Let me repeat that. The reason why the enemy comes at you, because he cannot stand to see you happy in Christ Jesus. That's right. He cannot stand to see it when you are walking under his glory. He cannot stand to see it when you are strong in the Lord. He will rather cause you to be down in the dumps. Get your mind not on God, and because, or better yet, he will rather want to cause you to lose your focus on God and focus on your own demise. That's right. He will rather do that to you. He will rather keep you in your dumps. He will rather keep you in your troubles and your worries. He will rather keep you beaten and down. He will rather destroy you and kill you, because, friends, that is what he is good for. You know why he's doing this? He already knows that he is lost, and he already knows what his outcome would be. So he would rather for you to fall away from God and drag you into his hell also. That's what he wants. Most of all, he wants to hurt our Father. He wants to hurt God, because if he can get after us and cause one of us to fall away, God hurts. God does. He grieves. But Satan does that because he hates God, because what God had to do to him. Well, that's Satan's fault because he's lost. But the good news, hey, now you're ready for the good news. The good news is this. And you're going to understand, you're going to relate to this when I say this. The good news is that God's grace is sufficient in any or every battle you face. You remember when Paul cried out to God, God, you know, this thorn is buffeting me, you know. I'm kind of paraphrasing a bit. But, you know, Paul was crying out to God, God, I got this thing going on. Can you remove it? And he prayed and prayed and prayed. But notice what God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. God's grace is sufficient in any and everything you face. Now just remember, the most important thing in all of this, you are not destined for defeat. No matter how dark the valley gets, no matter how cold the winter seasons in your life gets, no matter how frightening the wilderness gets, no matter how heavy the load gets, and please know that victory is guaranteed. We have won. How do I know this? Again, folks, all you've got to do is go to the end of the Bible and see it. We win. Game over. The fool has lost his game. He's gone. He gets thrown down into the lake of fire. He already knows that. That's why he's trying to get you to walk away from God himself. Folks, that's the power that we have whenever we are born again. That's the power we have when we get the Holy Spirit. That's the power we have whenever the Spirit tells us, you know, tell that fool to go somewhere else. Jesus rebuked him, and we have the same authority to do the same thing with the help of the Holy Spirit to tell him, get out of my life. Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. But you want some proof? I'll show you some proof. I'm not just saying this. And how do we know this? Well, like I said earlier, Paul himself, he experienced persecution constantly, and the wilderness for him, in all honesty, was a familiar place. Paul was used to it. In other words, I'm going to paraphrase, Paul was probably saying, bring it on, fella. Bring it on. I got something greater in me, Jesus Christ. Do what you want. I don't care. I got Jesus. You're nothing. I won. I'm a child of God. So I'm just saying, I don't know if Paul said that or not, but folks, that is the fact. If you have been born again, if you have received the Holy Spirit, he's got nothing on you. God is greater. Jesus is greater. But look what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 through 9 says. Look what it says. This is Paul. And he's telling those who's reading this, you and I, or anyone else, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Woo! And what this is telling us in God's words, that we can find comfort in any safety of God's protection if we learn a few things about the enemy and how he operates. And the only way you're going to learn that, study the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Be in constant prayer. Worship with other brothers and sisters. Learn. Study to prove thyself. That is the only way you are going to learn and understand how the enemy operates. If you don't take the weapons that God gives you to fight the enemy, then how are you going to fight them at all? You see, folks, the most important thing that we need to learn, that the enemy himself comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his main purpose. But with Jesus, we have life. With Jesus, we have joy. With Jesus, we have happiness. With Jesus, we have peace. With Jesus, we have comfort. With Jesus, we have victory. What can he give you, the enemy? Nothing. So the more you do for God And friends, I'm speaking this. You know, you may agree with it, may disagree with it. That's up to you. But the more that you do for God, the more that you open up your heart to Him, the more that you serve Him, the more that you surrender your life to Him, the greater the anointing that you carry, and the greater the effort of the enemy is going to do when he sees that, the greater the effort of the enemy is going to do is to discourage you. That's what he's going to do. The more you surrender to God, the more the enemy is going to get madder, the more the enemy is going to start to hate you, the more he's going to try to get you discouraged. See, the more you keep doing, the more you keep stepping out, the more he's going to come after you, because again, he cannot stand it. See, the enemy is nothing but the father of lies. The word of God says so. God is the father of truth. So when we serve Him, surrender to Him, and live for Him, and give our hearts to Him, and learn the truth, we know how to use the truth. And that's why the enemy does not want us to understand the truth. Folks, look, I'm not trying to glorify that old fool, but he is very strategic. He is. He had 6,000 years to study us. But please know this, fact. Know that the devil does not bother any individuals who are not a threat to his kingdom of darkness. Only those who have been taken away from him and brought into God's kingdom of light and been saved, that's when we become a threat to him. Because when we was brought out of darkness and brought into his light, and once we saw the truth, we became a threat to him. My friends, anything that God loves, the enemy hates and will attack. Because again, as I said, it is a threat to his kingdom. And the biggest reason is, a threat to Satan's kingdom is because of your relationship with the Lord. That is the greatest threat to him of all things, because of your relationship with the Lord. That's a threat to Satan. He knows it. He don't want you to know it. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to blind you to the truth. He don't want you to know that, because once we find out the truth, he can't stand it. You are a threat to his kingdom. So I want you to understand, continue to labor in prayer for these things. And remember this. Someone told me this. I wish I could write down the names of people who tell me such things as I'm growing up. I heard Billy Graham said something the other day when I was listening to him. He was saying, you know, the more that we grow into the Lord, the more that we walk on a journey, the more things we pick up. And we do. We start off like little newborn babes, but we do mature and we do grow and we pick up things. And someone told me this, you know, I don't know who told me this, but I remembered it when writing this thing. It says, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. You get that? Paul even hints on that. He says, you sow what you reap and you reap what you sow. You sow little, you get little. Sow a lot, you get a lot. But it has to be done with a pure heart. My friends, are you willing to pay the price in prayer and obedience to see deliverance? Are you? Are you willing to pay the price to see deliverance? It's all up to you. Because quantity in life with Christ requires labor, sacrifice, prayer, but most of all, faith in the real living God. The saints of the old would say, well, anything worth having is worth working for and waiting for. And at this point, my friends, I'm also reminded what Daniel went through in his life. When you study Daniel, wonderful. When you study the Word of God, it's wonderful. Look, you can't just cherry pick, you know, favorite things, but I do, but man, it's the whole Word of God is wonderful. But again, if you know the life of Daniel, look what Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 says. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But to back it up, like I said, the story of Daniel, folks, you have to understand, Daniel prayed, and he made a request to God. God heard and granted the request, but in fact, the delivery was delayed. And because that delivery was delayed, and you read and you study his life, Daniel became discouraged. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Quite a few times I prayed for many things, and the prayer got delayed. Didn't happen. Didn't see it. There's something I'm still waiting on. And because of that, yes, I got discouraged. I got discouraged, like poor Daniel. You see, friends, some things that you've been praying for, I'm going to tell you right now, has already been granted or done from the time that you prayed it in faith. But the enemy now, understand this, the enemy may have blocked the deliverance because sometimes you may have taken your eyes off the Lord. I got my hand raised up. I don't expect you to do the same. I'm talking for me. A few times I've taken my eyes off the Lord because I became discouraged. Because the battles, the trials, the tribulations, the hardships, things that I asked for, didn't get. And because of that, it was blocked. Or sometimes that it could have been, you know, when you didn't see an answer to your prayers, it may have been a lot of doubt that it would not happen. We talked a little bit about that, you know, yesterday, about how bad doubt can kill you. You see, you know, a lot of people go, oh, God, if, you know, they go, if you could take care of this, if you would do that, you know, if you would do this for me. Well, I hope you do, but I'm not sure if you will. Friends, then don't pray like that. God, in fact, tells us to come to him boldly and make our request be made known. And don't doubt. But you have to understand when you pray, it's going to be based upon his timing and his way, not the way we think. So it may have been doubt when you was praying that it may not happen. And God may have allowed the enemy to also to work within your lives in order to see if you are willing to stand for the Lord or if you're willing to pay that price. And so sometimes God will allow the enemy to do what he needs to do to test you to see if you're willing to pay that price. But hold on now. God himself always dispatches an angel to war and release your blessings in his time. In his time now. So hold on. And the reason I'm telling you to hold on is this. The most difficult price we have to pay. The most difficult price we have to pay when praying. And sometimes I don't do too well in this part. Honestly, I don't. That's why I know I'm speaking from experience. But the most difficult time, the most difficult price that we have to pay in praying is waiting for the time of delivery. Oof, the waiting game. If you like me, sometimes we do not like to wait. We are like a microwave society. Dang, I need it now. It don't work that way. But hold on, folks. Hold on and be strong. God has not forgotten you. Just because you hadn't received an immediate response to your prayers, God has not forgotten you. No. No. But remember, everything precious has its price. Wait on God, my friends. Wait on God. Wait on God, Abel. Wait on God, Rick. Wait on God, Beth. Wait on God, Lisa. Wait on God, Fred. Wait. Wait. Jimmy, wait on God. Don't you mess it up. Don't you mess it up. Wait. Everything precious has a price. Now, I forgot where I heard this from, too. You see, there's other things in my mind. I just can't remember who said it, but I do remember it somehow, some way. And I heard this from somebody that told me this, and it's so true. Listen to it. It says this. In order to get to it, you got to go through it. Let me repeat that. In order to get to it, you got to go through it. So true, isn't it? I wish I could remember who told me that, but it's really good words of wisdom. So in closing, I'll leave you all with this. Everyone, now pay attention, everyone does not pay the same price. Every one of us has a different cross to bear. How did I know this? Because again, let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, 23 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what you and I must do every day. And I found this quote on the internet too in searching for illustrations. It's from some person, I never heard of this guy before, named Rod Loy, L-O-Y. And he said this, don't ever desire someone else's accomplishment unless you have first discovered the price that was paid. Friends, just because when you look at somebody else and how good they're doing or what ministry they're in or whatever they are doing, don't say, you know, I like to be like that too. No. You don't know what price they paid. You don't know what price I paid. I don't know what price you paid. So don't ever desire someone else's accomplishment until you find out what was the cost. Because it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Look what Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14 says. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Many, many. Many. We see that today. That's the easy way out. Doesn't come with a cost. But eventually it does come with a cost, unfortunately. They just don't realize it. But for those of us, verse 14 says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Sadly, look at that word. Those who find it are few. Are few. It's not everybody. Not everybody's going to be saved. Some folks don't like to hear that. Some folks says, well, Jim, I don't think that. You know, I don't think, you know, God wants everybody. No, God don't want everybody to be lost. No, he doesn't. That's what Christ came for. He came to save everybody. But will everybody be saved? No. They rejected Jesus, and they're going to keep on rejecting him. They're going to find out the ultimate end. There is a price that's going to be paid. We also pay the price, too. But we find it. And you have the same time as everyone else. You have the same time as everyone else. So pay a price to get the most out of your time. Pay the price to get the most out of your time, folks. Look at this quote from Dwight Eisenhower. He once said this, and I kind of had to look at it a couple times, and I finally got it when he said it. He said, "Choose the pain of discipline and sacrifice, or you will get the pain of regret." Good words. You decide. What do you choose? You decide. What do you want? You decide what price you're going to pay. Friends, there are no victories at bargain prices. That's right. I know many of you, I don't know how it is and where you live at, but down here, man, you know, we got these Dollar Tree stores. That's what they call them. When my wife first told me, you know, I thought she was saying Auto Tree. I said, "What do you mean Auto Tree? What kind of store has an Auto Tree?" You know, like, and we kind of laughed. She said, no, Dollar Tree, Dollar Tree. Oh, okay. But you know these stores, these Dollar Trees, Dollar Generals, Family Dollars, you know, Fred's. Yes, Fred, there is a store called Fred's down here. It's like a $1 store. But everything is a dollar, real bargain prices, real cheap. Well, I'm going to let you know, there's no victory at cheap prices. None. You see, folks, when you complain about your price, pay attention to this. Because when you complain about your price that you paid, you will eventually quit paying it. You keep complaining about the price that you're paying, you're eventually going to quit paying it. Sad. So you can do one of two things. Master your emotions, or they can master you. Never wait till you feel good to pay the price, but pay the price and you will feel good. When you don't reach your potential, it may be because it's always a payment issue. Let me repeat this. If you don't reach your full potential, it may be because it's a payment issue that you have. You're not willing to admit it. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to count the cost? Are you? Seriously. Are you willing to count the cost? For us to have a successful journey through life with Jesus Christ, you must continuously pay a price. All the flesh wants ease. The devil wants defeat. The world wants compliance with its standards, rules, or laws. And if you don't hold on, you will fail to reach your greatest potential when you fail to pay a price. Hold on to Christ. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on tight to Him, folks. And pay that price no matter what the cost. Hold on to Him. And I want to encourage you most of all, don't give up on God, please. Don't give up on God no matter what you are facing in your life. Hold on. Pay the price. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your church. Don't give up on the community. Don't give up on the dream or the vision that God has given you. Don't throw in the towel. Do not give up the ship. Never retreat. Never surrender to the enemy. Hold on. Stand your ground and don't let the enemy speak those words to you. Realize who you are. I found this quote in another person's message, and it said that he always ended his prayer with, "And I thank you that it's done. In Jesus' name, amen." We need to thank Jesus. We need to thank Jesus. And folks, we got to get a thank you that it is done way deep down in our spirits. And that way you can cancel out all those fears, all those doubts, all those unbeliefs. Because victory, my friends, in Christ Jesus is guaranteed, and everything precious has its price. And with this, your price never decreases. Every time you succeed, the next challenge, yes, does get harder. The criticism gets sharper, and the trials do get hotter. And God never promised life would be easy. He did promise us peace and power and inner satisfaction. Life to you, my friends, is stair-stepping. There is a bigger price for more glory and accomplishment. And your price will increase when you desire to get better, stronger, or closer to God. So I call upon you tonight, for those of you who's listening to this message right now, I call upon you. I call upon you to humbly seek the fullness of God. I humbly call upon you to seek the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. But do it with your eyes wide open, never closed. Do it with your eyes wide open, never close. Yes, there will be a price. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's worth it. Oh, Jesus. It's worth it. I'm sorry for my doubts. I'm sorry for my discouragements. I'm sorry for not believing half the time. I need you to help me get better in that department. But Jesus, I do know this. It's worth it. Because the power of God is precious. So with your eyes open to the price and the preciousness of the spiritual power, folks, I invite you to seek its fullness from the Lord. And last but not least, remember this. Please remember this. Everything precious has its price. The question is, are you willing to pay it? Are you willing to pay it? I hope something was said to minister to you. I really do. I really do. Everything precious has a price. God bless you. And amen. So let's pray.